jamais été mon chapeau devant personne. Maintenant je rampe et je fais le beau quand elle me sonne. J'étais chien méchant, elle me fait manger dans sa menette. J'avais des dents de loup, je les ai changées pour des quenottes.
Hello to you, wherever you are. And we get the reports in that people from far and wide have discovered these podcasts and are listening in, so welcome to you. Today's has got an interesting name, but it's even more interesting in the content, I believe. The name Brahmacharya. It's the fourth in the steps of the Yamas. Look, it's a vast subject that can be applied to life in many ways. And today I'm going to attempt to just share with you some of those ways. And you can decide yourself every time you listen to this or what you'd like to think about. To me, Brahmacharya has always felt to be alive, to really know that you're on track and to be alive and you're connected with yourself. Now, in times gone by, and where the knowledge of Brahmacharya came from, it was often thought of as being celibacy. But you know, it's been overlooked that can also be applied to all of us. But, you know, people who choose to be monks or nuns and or at times in our life, for many reasons, we choose to be in celibacy. But that's not my focus today. My focus is on something that's quite different. This is my story. I regularly go down to my coffee shop. And I do it because I want to support them. At this time when small businesses are struggling, it's lovely because they have plants and flowers and bushes to sell. But more important, just to give them my service. And they're friendly and I've known them for many years. But I've noticed also, apart from doing that, I go there whether I need a coffee or not. I just go there. Now that's all very well. But what about if I don't need a coffee? I could go and buy a plant and leave it at the doorstep of someone. I could. So I went down the other day and I parked in front of the shop ready to put my mask on. But because there's distancing, there are quite a lot of people, two in the shop and then three or four on the outside. So I sat and I just looked at the trees and looked at the flowers. And it took quite a while. Now, I didn't do this purposely, but it came to my attention that right now I don't need that coffee. That had become a habit that I was driven by my senses rather than me perhaps having a connection with myself at this time of the day. Do I need a coffee? And I'd already had one much earlier in the morning. So I drove home and I walked around my garden and got in tune as I love to do with nature. And it suddenly dawned on me. We are in Brahmacharya when we have that sense of self. And although in the early days the word brahmacharya meant walking in the path of the divine, we are all divine deep within, and to be in tune with our divinity, we walk in a path of knowing that the whole world is sacred. In amongst all the mess. And so we are in brahmacharya, sometimes just within our minds, sometimes in a quiet outward action. In the modern world, brahmacharya means maintenance of our vitality, our best energy. And as applied to our modern lifestyle, it is an art of sustaining yours and my energy and not letting get depleted, not letting stress catch up on us before we've had a chance to step away. And so our stress, whichever way we feel that, causes depletion. So brahmacharya also evokes a sense of directing our energy away from only external needs and instead towards finding peace and happiness within ourselves by stepping away and spending a little bit of time alone or maybe in nature. Now, I have my wonderful book, which is one of my resources, The Yamas and Niyamas, Exploring Yogic Ethical Practice by Deborah Adele. I want you to know that these are not always my words. On page 77, she gives us another look in the sacredness of how some people in some countries might feel and work with brahmacharya. I'd like to read it to you. On a recent trip to India, I met a man named Thakur, who was the first man in bringing trekking and other outdoors to that part of the Himalayas. He was a successful businessman, living the long hours and impositions of success. He told me, however, that wealthy as he was, he still lived in the house, the home, his father had built on the outskirts of the village. The door to his home was only chest high, so entering the home required him to bow his head. He said this simple action of bowing as he entered reminded him of the sacredness of all things, and he spent his evenings and his sleep in peace and ease, ready to bring that sacredness to his business negotiations the next day. Brahmacharya can be like that low entrance for us. It reminds us to enter each day and each action with a sense of wholeness rather than indulgence, so that our days may be lived in a wonder of sacredness, rather than often in the misery and overload of excess. I'm going to head to the next page. Because I think it follows on from this. Can we honour all of life and nature as sacred? Can we honour ourselves as sacred? If we stop and pause for a moment, we all know that it's the simple things that stir our soul and bless us with happiness. The wind in the trees, the colours of the sky, the touch of a loved one, the delight of a child, a shared moment with a friend can fill us to overflowing. I have found that When the sense of wonder leaves me, then everything becomes dull and ordinary. And I've noticed that it's because I have kept too fast a pace for too long. I've pushed past my own boundaries, and now I'm out of balance. It is time to rest. When I am rested, nothing is dull and ordinary. With all the weight off my mind and my heart and my shoulders, everything glows with mystery and ease. Whether I take it easy for a day or escape into the woods by myself, it's quite hard to give myself rest sometimes. There's a million and one reasons why I can't. My ego feels it's important. It doesn't feel very important when I'm resting, or that's how it used to be. Not anymore. Perhaps in the early days, my ego doesn't like the idea that life can go on without me, even for a few hours. What a joke. I like to be where the action was. But in this culture of constant activity, there's always a lot that needs to be done. But I'm finding, is it because I'm getting older? Yet I'm hungry now to step outside the habits of technology and the bombardment of stimulation and the routines that I have conveniently put in place for myself. I'm hungry to learn from the silence, to see if I'm on track with my soul. And I'm hungry to tame the stimulation, and I want to pull back from indulgences. And I'm hungry to do nothing and let that be more than enough. You see, I found that resting regularly, whether it's with yoga or meditation or relaxation or just quiet time, it rejuvenates my sense of mystery. In this simple act, I find my eyes are shifted to wonder and my heart spontaneously bursts with a song of gratitude. Now, I put myself in those words, but they were words out of Deborah Adele's book. But I wonder whether we can all feel like that at times, and how much we can move into that other space. Sometimes we wear our busyness like a badge, like our busyness would somehow impress the rest of the world or impress ourselves. How many of us go to bed with a sense of accomplishment because we've checked a lot of things off our task list, or someone told us how great we were, or we helped others? Let's not ask ourselves what the world needs, always, but ask ourselves, what makes us come alive? Because we know that aliveness, then we can share with others. Brahmacharya, equanimity. Brahmacharya doesn't mean we can't enjoy ourselves, but it means having a thoughtful relationship with ourselves. Whether you walk with the sacredness, with the divine, quietly, inwardly with yourself, or outwardly. Maybe this week we can practice non-excess, so it preserves and honours our life force within us, so that we can live with clarity. It helps us to become strong, and we pull back the reins and find our centre and take stock of our lives. Why do we do this? Why do we think on Brahmacharya and maybe put it into place? It promises good health. It deepens our vitality, our stamina, our courage. Mahatma Gandhi said, "It keeps us closer to our truth, the control of our thoughts and actions." If we don't even think on brahmacharya. In this world of consumerism and excess, it can be the misery of a too full stomach and trouble with our digestion. It can be the deadness of overwork. It can be the lethargy of exhaustion, so oversleep. Just the heaviness of excess. And when we consider our truth, that connection to just what we need and not more, I think we create more attention, less stress. And you know, what we put our attention on makes all the difference, because we're not distracted or disturbed. We get the job done, whether it's a job we were going to delight in or not. And often if it was a job we didn't want to do, we stay so focused and get it done. And it wasn't so bad after all. If we're able to direct our energy towards something positive each day, rather than letting the energy head towards negative thoughts. If we can do that, then we boost our immune system by making the right use of good energy. So no shoulds. We know they say we should be busy, we should do this, we should do that. No shoulds. Just let our behaviour, our own behaviour, lead us towards our higher power while we make use of our best energy. So how do we do that? Listen to our body. Definitely listen to our body. In a yoga practice, if I'm teaching it, I would be asking to not push or force. And when they're in a posture which they may be holding, if I ask them to stay there for a few minutes, could they lessen the stress to let the body learn how it can live better in what we're asking it to do? When we feel intense about something, can we just lessen the intensity? Can we let go of the tension? It doesn't solve anything. And when we're more at ease, everything happens in the right way. However, in writing this for you today and also beginning to write my book, there was an hour where I felt the tension build up. I felt almost unwell. And I needed to just step back. Rather than do squats and push-ups, I went for a walk and then came and did an inverted pose on my block and then relaxed. Yes, it was 20 minutes to half an hour. Then I got up and made a cup of tea. And I went on with my day. So there wasn't a headache or worse. I listened to my body. But I also have a plan. I do this myself, and I've been teaching it for 50 years. Some way, if you can come to something that is good for you, first thing in the morning, if you know how to sit and do breath practice, if you do some stretches, if you know what the kriyas are, with one pointed attention, every morning, or at least before lunchtime, and then in the evening, do something that quiets you down and let go of that electronics an hour early before you go to bed. So we begin closer to natural living. Practice, practice, practice. So the breathing, the deep rest, begins to create our balance. One thing at a time. Spending time alone, as well as with others. So, you know, we eat and work and sleep to the point of increased energy before lethargy or a headache comes. Maybe we could ponder the words of a Japanese Buddhist monk who said, "The point in life is to know what's enough. I wonder this week if I could leave you with noticing when you felt that you'd had enough, said enough, done enough, or had enough of something, and you just stopped like I did outside my coffee shop. I wonder if you're willing to know that you are divine. Notice the sacredness that we have been given because we were given life. Don't limit yourself by putting yourself down or thinking you're not enough or just discarding even the thought of that. Even if you have to walk in nature and listen to the birds and look at the sky and the trees and become quiet because they're our balance. I have found that when the sense of wonder leaves me, everything becomes dull and ordinary. It's because the pace has been too fast. But when I'm rested, nothing is dull and ordinary, and everything glows with mystery. Be with your sacredness, the divine and the divine of nature every day this week. And breathe. Breathe in the morning slowly, deeply and calmly. And breathe in the evening before you lay your head to sleep. The affirmation could be, today I will be aware of the right use of my energy in my thoughts, words and actions. Brahmacharya. I'm sharing this with myself. How could I speak these words if I didn't contemplate them for the precious life that I too have been given? And so I leave you with lots of thoughts, and I hope you've enjoyed that. So next week we go on to Paragraha, which is the last one of the yamas, and that completes a wonderful set of information before we go on to the niyamas. So until then, yes, we are divine, and yes, you are here for a reason. Until next week, take good care of yourself. Bye for now.